continue tonight with our study of Pachad Yitzchak for Purim, and we're up to Inyan Tes. You remember that Mordechai refuses to bow down to Haman. Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachaveh. And we're going to raise a question based on the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, Al tizgare b'rosho when the Rosh seems to be enjoying the glory of the world, don't mess around with him. And this is a statement in Chazal that certainly should apply to Haman. It's a Shah Mesacheches Lo. He's been appointed officially by the king, by Achashverosh, and yet there's a giri here in which Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachaveh in Perek Gimel of Megillas Esther. The second question that we want to analyze tonight is the concept of schok of Purim. We know that Purim at its very center has the concept of schok. And the question that we want to raise is based on the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, "Asur lemale schok piv ba'olam hazeh," that in this world a person is not permitted to reach the level of schok, unbridled, limitless schok, laughter and banter. That's left for a different world, not for this world. And the poskim, which you'll see in our Chaim Simon Tov Kuf Samach, wonder about two different categories of schok that perhaps would be exceptions to the rule and would be permissible despite the iser of Oz Yimali Schok Pinu Osr Lischok Biolam Azeh. And those two categories are Simcha Shal Mitzvah, when I enjoy and I'm full of joy when I do a mitzvah, and Simchas Purim. And the post can deal with these two categories as separate categories, meaning the heter, which would permit a person to be full of joy and Yimali Schok Pin for the sake of a mitzvah, Simcha Shal Mitzvah, that's separate from the possibility of permitting the Schok of Purim as a category unto itself. In other words, the license for Schok of Purim is independent of the license for Simcha Shal Mitzvah, the Schok of a Mitzvah. And we'd like to understand what would be the reasoning for this heter, for this license, Yemalei Schok Piv B'Schok Shal Purim, that on Purim we're allowed to be totally full of joy and laughter, and we're not confined by the restriction of Oz Yemalei Schok Pinu, and this heter of Schok Purim is independent of Simcha Shal Mitzvah. I mean, if you would ask me, well, why is Simcha Shal Mitzvah permissible? Isn't that a Milui Schok Piv Bolam Hazeh? The answer is, obviously the Schok of a Simcha Shal Mitzvah is not really a Schok of this world. You know, the Mitzvah belongs to a higher world. It's not included, therefore, the Schok of a Mitzvah in the general Iser of Schok, of Malei Piv Schok B'Olam Hazeh. In other words, the Tanai of Olam Hazeh, as far as the Iser of Yemali Schok Piv, excludes the case of Simcha Shal Mitzvah. That's not a Schok of Olam Hazeh. But now we find a special heter for the Schok of Purim as a category unto itself, independent of Schok Shal Mitzvah. So apparently there must be some logical reason why Schok Shal Purim is beyond the pale of the Iser Yemali Schok Piv, Osel Yolam Yemali Schok B'Olam Hazeh. It's not under the category of Simcha Shal Mitzvah that we're giving license. And take a look in the Elio Rabbah, in Arachayim, at the end of Siman Tov Kuf Samach, there you'll see clearly that the category of Schok of Purim is independent of the category of Schok Shal Mitzvah. And therefore the Heter, which is applicable to the Isur of the isa derived from the pasuk in Tilum Kuf Chavav of Asa L'mal Yischok Pim Bol Mazeh, that heter is a special heter with regard to Simcha Shel Purim, and it is not a subcategory of the general heter of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And if that be the case, we want to understand what's the nature of that license of placing Simchas Purim and Schok Shel Purim outside the pale of Asa L'yadam L'imale Schok Piv Bolam Hazeh. In order to analyze these concepts, let's refer to a presentation that we've touched on in the past, that the Isur of Milui Schok Piv is defined in the language of the Chachamim by the words Olam Hazeh. In other words, what we're saying is that Milui Schok Piv is not prohibited unto itself, but the condition of this prohibition and the definition thereof is Ba'olam Hazeh. And we said already, we've mentioned already the Gemara in Brachos on Dav Zayin, also Lizgaris Barosha Shashav Mesachekeslo, and that halacha of a prohibition to stand up and confront a Rasha when Shom Mesachekeslo, when things are going well for him. The Gemara establishes a limitation rule confining the Isul is Garis Barasha to a Tzadik She'eno Gomor. He doesn't have a clean slate. But with regard to a Tzadik Gomor, a perfect Tzadik, if you will, the Isur of Lizgaros Barasha, of confronting a Rasha B'shosh HaMasachekeslo when things are going so well and he's on the top of the world, that Isur does not apply to a Tzadik Gomor. And at face value, we would say that the Tzadik Gomor has such a powerful merit, you know, an all-inclusive schus, which will protect him against the anger of a Rasha. And that's for sure true. But there's something deeper here going on, below the surface. And in order to analyze this, we want to speak about the schok of a Rasha, meaning the Shosha Misachekeslo. He's on the top of the world. And there are two different explanations for that schok, Shasha Misachekeslo. And they basically form two different answers or explanations for why this Rasha is an evildoer, deserves nothing, and has no merits in this world, and yet Hashem bestows upon him all the goodness. He's on the top of the world. He's rich, he's powerful, he's enjoying and implementing his mighty powers in this world successfully. Why should, again, not a theological question why, but what is the nature of this Shavas HaChekeslo? And one answer to that question is called Chanifa. It's a schok of Chanifa. The Shom Mesachekeslo, the schok that's been bestowed upon the Rasha, is a schok of Chanifa. Chanifa literally means to say good things about something, about someone, in order to make, you know, to make him feel good when you really don't mean that at all. You're just building him up in a false kind of a way, Chanifa, because you need something from him. We're talking about a kind of hypocrisy or dishonesty, a kind of flattery, that you flatter a person with even though it's insincere, but because of the power that he has. And in a sense, you cringe and you submit to him. He's a haughty person, and you do it for the purpose of Chanifa, which means in order to flatter him, because you need a favor from him, or you need his protection. You need his goodwill. That's one kind of schok. But there's another kind of schok which is much more profound and answers the question, why is this evildoer basking in the sun and basking in glory? And that is that it's not a matter of dishonesty. We're not trying to fool this Russia into thinking that he's really great in order to show him like as if we love him and embrace him. But rather, it's lag. Sometimes, when you really scoff at somebody and realize his worthlessness, you show him a laughing face, but really you're laughing at him, not with him. In the first case of Hanifa, that tzchok is a smile of embracing. To dishonestly and insincerely show him, wow, we love you and we respect you and we laud you, we praise you. But the exact opposite, which is bizayon, which is really to humiliate something, is when you laugh at someone because it's a joke. This guy doesn't deserve any sort of recognition, any sort of praise whatsoever. In truth, you can have a schok which integrates both of these qualities at the same time. It's a duality of sorts. On the one hand, it's Hanifa. On the other hand, it's Lak. Meaning, externally, it's Hanifa. But internally, in Pnim, it's lag. We're really laughing at him, making fun of him. When we say that a Russia is Shah Misachekeslo, we're talking about a Shah Misachekes, a schok, which has two different parts. It's a two-edged sword. On the outside, it's Hanifa. On the inside, in Pnim, it's really lag. Take the pasuk, for example, Tilim Tzadi Beis. Bifrach Rishoyim Kmo Esev. And then it says, Lashmidom Adead. Lishomdom Adead. On the one hand, it's Bifrach Rishoyim. That's Hanifa. But on the Pnim, it's Lishomdom Adead. It's Lag. The pasuk says, Yoshev Bashamayim. It means that up in the heavens, Yishak Hashem Yilag Lomo. It's a pasuk in Tilim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really laughing at the Rishoyim. They're worthless in his eyes. And that's a schok shalag. However, what we see in the outward external manifestation of the life of the Russia is a schok of Hanifa. So that the beginning of the relationship of schok in the case of a Russia Shashom Sachekeslo is the simple truth that that schok Shashom Sachekeslo is not Chas V'Shalom a schok of nachas ruach. It's not at all indicative of the fact that God is happy with this person and therefore bestowing upon him all the great fortunes, the glory, the power, etc. This is a schok of ein nachas ruach lefanov. Hashem is not at all happy with this Russia. And therefore, the schok belongs to one of these two categories. Either it's a schok of Hanifa or it's a schok of Lag. And in order to perceive that schok of the Shas Mesachekeslo, it depends. So your regular tzaddik, tzaddik Sheino Gomor, tzaddik Stam, his perception of the schok shashom eshachek eslo is a schok of chanifa. And within the context of his perception, the Rasha stands in a situation of chanifa, milamala, meaning from up in heaven, there's this insincere flattery that's being showered upon this Rasha. If there's an insincerity and a falseness or a sort of dishonest flattery that's being showered upon from on top, from on high, then he, meaning the tzaddik, should in a corresponding way relate and behave towards the Rasha with this same attribute of chanifa. He should be dishonest and flatter him. He's not allowed. The opposite of chanifa is girui. He's not allowed to be megara in the Rasha shasham sachekesol, because the way he perceives it in his perception, his world, he is looking at a Rasha shasham sachekeslo, and for him to do girui and to confront this Rasha and try to rebel against him and put him down and with a controversy and a conflict, that kind of a girui is just the opposite of chanifa. So there's no license for the treatment of a Rasha in any way other than chanifa, because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is treating this Rasha. We too have to follow suit in a mirror image. Correspondingly, we have to treat the Rasha with chanifa. There's no room for girui. But that's with regard to a stam tzaddik, a tzaddik shein of gomor. With regard to a tzaddik gomor, a tzaddik that sees bipnim, he sees underneath the surface with absolute clarity. There's no room for some sort of ambiguous twilight zone over here. His eye observes all the way to the depths and discerns the truth on the deepest level. He, the tzaddik gomor, according to his great level of understanding and acknowledging what goes on, he cannot accept this fundamental approach of schok of chanifa. He knows very well that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not trying to flatter the Rasha in a dishonest way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get any benefit from that. The tzaddik gomor, in the clarity of his vision, understands that the schok is just external. All the glory and all the great excitement that's being bestowed upon the Rasha is all superficial. But bipnimius, what it really is lag. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really laughing at this Rasha. And the tzaddik gomor knows how to interpret the schok on its deepest, most profound level. From the knowledge that the schok of the and the glory that the Rasha is basking in is not chanifa, but on the contrary, it's lag. It's a bitter kind of laughter, biting and scoffing and rejecting the Rasha and any possible significance he might have, that's all being thrown overboard. And since the tzaddik gomor perceives the schok in its true, deeper way, he doesn't perceive it as a symbol of chanifa, because that would be misleading. That's what we call in halacha ona. Ona is when you advertise and market something. You wrap it up and you're selling it for what it really is not, as if it were what you're claiming it is. He says that chanifa would be nothing more than ona. And although it may appear externally that this ona has some sort of purpose down the line, but the tzaddik gomor sees the now. He's not interested in what's being prepared and what's going to happen in the asid. He wants to know what's the truth right now, and he recognizes the truth that this schok now, at this very moment, is nothing more than lag. It's liglug. It's a facetious, cynical kind of scoffing. And therefore, the tzaddik gomor understands right now the truth. And since he doesn't see the schok as chanifa, he doesn't come under the heter of chanifa. He doesn't have license to follow and mirror it and mimic the chanifa that's coming from on high, you know, being bestowed upon the Rosh, because he knows there is no chanifa coming on high. He doesn't see in this schok any simon whatsoever of chanifa. Is therefore the heter for him to follow Hashem and do chanifa doesn't apply. And therefore we get back to square one, because what is our relationship to a Rosh? If not for Hashem is hacheslo, if not for the need for chanifa, it's girui. Let's stand up against him. Let's confront him. Let's tell him to his face that we're not interested in all his antics and all his when he professes glory. He's a Rasha. And we could be Megara him, there's Mutal is Garispo, even if he's a Rosh Hashem Sachekaslo, that's the heter for Tzadik Gomor. The difference between a Tzadik Gomor and Tzadik She'ena Gomor is not is not explicit in the Gemara. And therefore, there's no need to assume that the Gemara is working with the premise that because of the ribui, because of the increase in merit, and the great tzchuyos that the Tzadik Gomor has, therefore he can be Megara the Rasha. No. The difference is between a Tzadik She'eno Gomor who understands the Tzchok L'shah in one way, and the Tzadik Gomor understands the Tzchok L'shah in a different way. According to the Tzadik She'eno Gomor, in his grasp, in his understanding, we have to be Machnif, we need Chanifa for the Rasha, Shashom Esachek Eslo. Because if Milamala is getting chanifa, then we down here in this world have to give him chanifa. And we have to be dishonest about it and insincere. And we have to show him a false face that indicates that we flatter him and we praise him. And in that context of chanifa, there's no heter for anything but chanifa. Therefore, girui is prohibited. But in the grasp, in the vision, the understanding of the Tzadik Gomor, the Schok Hashav, the Rasha, is nothing more than some sort of an arrow that is poisoned at its tip, and it really essentially is lag. It's scoffing and laughing at this individual. There's no chanif, you can strip shasha sachekaslo. Schok Hashav, any element of chanifa is memela. If there's no element of chanifa in terms of what's coming min hashamayim milamala down on the Rasha, therefore there's no reason for us, for in this case us referring to the Tzadik Gomor, to behave towards the Rasha in any other way other than girui. I mean, chanifa is permissible as a replacement for girui, but that's because Hashem Mesachek Eslo is the Shav chanifa. But if there is no Shav Mesachek Eslo of chanifa, and in truth the Shav Mesachek Eslo is just a facade covering over lag, and that's what the Shav Mesachek Eslo b'pnimius, it's a kind of laughing at him and scoffing at him, making him nothing in a cynical way, then we can do girui. Again, the Tzadik Gomor is allowed, he's permitted to be Megara in the Rasha, because the Shav Esachek Eslo is not a Shav Chanifa, it's a Shav Lak. And let's now take a look at the Medrash as we come back to our discussion about Purim. The Medrash of Megillas Esther in Parsha Zayin says, Ki Haman Hoysalo Taina Kenegin Mordechai. Haman had an argument which at the surface of it looks valid against Mordechai. And that is that even Yaakov Avinu, in his relationship to Esav, he bowed down to Esav. It was a relationship of chanifa. So why don't you, Mordechai, bow down to me? And the question is, what would Mordechai counter-argue? The Medrash offers the following response of Mordechai. Mordechai is an Ish Yemini, which means he comes from Shevet Binyamin. He is born before Binyamin is born. What I mean, I don't mean he's, Mordechai obviously is the descendant of Binyamin, but what I meant to say was that before Binyamin was born, there was a confrontation between Yaakov and Esav, in which Yaakov actually bowed down to Esav and subjugated himself. Every single Shevet has its unique power of sanctity and its way of Avodah. The power of Shevet Binyamin is very unique, and that is that Shevet Binyamin has the uncanny ability to grasp the deep, profound log of the Schok of Hashem Mesacheches Lo Liesav. Because Binyamin was not alive at the time that Yaakov Avinu bowed down to Esav and flattered him with a Schok Shel Chanifa, Binyamin wasn't around, he wasn't part of that episode, and therefore Binyamin goes back to the level of Girui to a Rasha. Binyamin doesn't see any simon of Chanifa in the Shah Mesacheches Lo of Esav. That's only something that's shaykh to the other Shvatim that were around when Yaakov responded to Esav with Chanifa. Esav is the Shah Mesacheches Lo, he's coming there with his powerful armies, and Yaakov responds with Chanifa. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing Chanifa, I'll do Chanifa. But that's the perspective and the vision of a Tzadik Sheino Gomor. Binyamin represents the Shevet of a Tzadik Gomor in a sense. He represents the Shevet that's not in any way poisoned by Chanifa. The Chanifa in this case of Yaakov Avinu. He comes into a pure world of good and evil to respect those who do good and disrespect those who do evil. It's really nothing more than a schok shel lag or liglug. That's what Binyamin understands. That's the Binyamin perception. And from whence did Binyamin get this power? And the answer is, according to Chazal, because Binyamin did not bow down to Esav. Yaakov did. The other brothers, the Shvatim, were alive at the time, were impacted and perhaps poisoned by that experience, by that encounter between Yaakov and Esav, Vayishtachav Elo. But Binyamin was not yet born. He was never poisoned by that atmosphere, by the action of Yaakov of Chanifa. There's no heter for him to do Chanifa. Everything is pumfak, everything is the opposite. And there's a parallel corresponding image. It's almost like two sides of a seesaw. As the greater the level of schok, of Shah Mesachek Sol Rasha, the greater and more intense is the desire to be Mizgarab Rasha. And we know that Mordechai, as it says in the second chapter of Esther, is Ish Yemini. He is a descendant of Binyamin. His perspective on a Rosh Hashanah Mesacheches Lo is identical with the perspective of a Tzadik Gomor. Hence, in the next parak in Megillas Esther, Mordechai Lo Yichre V'lo Yishtachaveh. Mordechai will not bow down to Esav, because Mordechai represents that category of a Tzadik Gomor, because he is a descendant of Shevet Binyamin. He's not part of the process of Chanifa, of Yaakov Ishtachaveh Esav. He's not at all poisoned by that. He's not impacted by that. He lives in the world of clarity of thought, clarity of vision. He understands that Hashem Mesachek, so it's not Chanifa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need any benefits from the Rasha. It's not Hashem Mesachek Eslo, but rather it's Lag. That very same act of bestowing upon a Rasha in this world, all that lavish goodness, that's a way of laughing at him. You're nothing. Take what you can in this world. And now we swing back to our original question about the nature of Simchas Purim, of Schok Shel Purim. On Purim, every Jew is a descendant of Mordechai. Mordechai is the Shliach Hakel, that represents the entire Tzibur of Knesset Yisrael on Purim, Mordechai becomes our leader, Rosh HaAnhaga. Today, we are all secondary to Mordechai, meaning we take upon ourselves the identity of a kind of a Mordechai. And therefore, we, the people of Israel, have merited on this day of Purim a day of clarity in which we recognize the deeper meaning of Hashem Mesacheches Lo L'Rosh, Hashem Mesacheches Lo L'Esav. We appreciate, we grasp that the schok here of the Rosha is nothing more than lag, a profound and very intense and heavy lag coming down from Shamayim. And therefore, on Purim, insofar as we are in that perspective of Shevet Binyamin, of Tzadik Gomor, of Shah Mesacheches Lo Shah Shalag, we don't need Hanifa. We only need Hanifa if we have that limited, superficial perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Milamal is being Machnif the Rosh. But if it's not that perspective, it's a deeper perspective that it's really Lag, it's not Hanifa, then there's no reason for us to respond to the Rosh of Hanifa. In fact, we are allowed to respond with Girui. With Girui to Rosh. And all our actions, our behavior on the day of Purim, is to openly defy the Rishayim. That's our Girui. And this is all a reflection of the essence of what Purim is all about. Yom Purim, the Tzumah Shel Yom Purim, the essence of the day, is a day of Girui B'Rishayim. It's a day of Mordechai Lo Yichra V'Lo Yishtachaveh. And therefore when Chachamim say, as we saw in the Gemara in Brachos, Osel is Garis B'Rosh of Olam Hazeh, and that L'chora is contradictory to our situation, our experience of Purim, a day in which we honor Misgara Barosha as we replace Mordechai, Lo Yichra Lo Yishtachaveh. Mordechai's Lo Yichra Lo Yishtachaveh is the greatest act of Giri, of rebellion, throwing it back in the face of the Rosh of Haman. And we today, on this day of Purim, are in a sense reflecting that Bechina, that aspect, that attribute of Lo Yichra V'lo Yishtachaveh of Giri B'Rishayim. Is how could that be so? The answer is because the Tzumah Shel Yom converts us all, transforms each and every one of us into a Ke'ein Mordechai, who is Lo Yichra V'lo. Our experience, our behavior on this day of Purim is a gigantic reflection of Mordechai's Lo Yichra Lo Yishtachaveh of Giri B'Rishayim, because the Shah Mesacheches Lo is not perceived as a Shah of Hanifa Mesacheches Lo, but rather a Shah of Lag, and we are part of that Lag. We are going to make fun of Haman in many different ways. That is our Schok of Purim. Yom HaPurim is the exception to Ba'olam Hazeh. Also is Garis B'Rosh Ba'olam Hazeh. But Purim is not the Bechina of Olam Hazeh. Purim belongs to a different world. The Isur of Gir Rishoyim is confined to Olam Hazeh. In this world we're not allowed to be Mizgara with a Rosha. But Purim is not Bechina as Olam Hazeh. And therefore, on this time period of Purim, we are permitted to be Mizgara B'Rosh HaShashom HaSacheches Lo. We are also permitted to be Mamale Peh B'Schok, because all of Klal Yisrael feels and senses on this day of Purim that the Atzmo Shel HaSchok, the very essence of Schok, of Shom HaSacheches Lo, as far as Amolek, is nothing more than bitter lag. And it reflects Yoshev B'Shamayim Yitzchak HaShem Yilag Lomo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu up in Shamayim is laughing at the Rishoyim, and Knesset Yisrael grasps and comprehends on Purim that this schok of Shah Mesacheches Lo is only lag, it's an eternal lag on Amalek. And therefore, we open our mouths on this day of Purim with laughter, with memalei schok pinu, out of a grasp, out of an understanding and a comprehension that this schok is really, in a sense, a divine voice, a baskol of the schok of Shamayim on the Rishoyim. It's a baskol of the ultimate schok, ozi mole schok pinu, of Olam above, the world to come. This is the minhag of Klal Yisrael, to engage on this day of Purim on all forms of schok. And the pasuk in Shmuel Beis says, v'sachakti lifnei Hashem. We can enjoy the schok and exhibit that schok in front of Hashem. It's a schok of lifnei Hashem. It's a schok of Olam Haba. It's a schok of the descendants of Mordechai, who wave the banner of Mordechai's lo yichol ishtachver, the perception of the tzaddik gomor, who sees that all of the glory and all of the schok of Shah Sacheslo, of Arusha, of Esav, of Amalek, is all lag. And therefore we follow suit with Giri and lag. That's the schok of Purim. That's the special unique heter on this day that the poskim referred to in Shulchan Aruch. A heter on the Easter of Asuli Adam Lamale Schok Piv, the Olam Hazeh.